Welcome to the Image and Glory Conference 2025. Open your heart to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
Hallelujah. Within the short time I have before me, there are a few things that I felt the Lord lead in my heart, and I'll just speak to them as He gives the utterance. I believe His word, and I receive it in the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1. This is one of the anchor scriptures for this year's conference. It says, "Behold, the king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." Can we read it together, everybody? "And princes shall rule in judgment." Okay, so as we've been taught, you know, through the pre-conference teaching, so if this is the first time you're coming to church, for like 5 weeks before now, God's servants labored consistently almost every day, teaching us and preparing our hearts, you know, around this theme, the Son of God and the reign of righteousness. There were many thoughts, you know, that the Lord brought to us, but this was one of the anchor scriptures that the Lord laid in His heart. And as I said, the king here is our Lord Jesus. Can we say our Lord Jesus? Yes. And the princes are His brethren. The brethren He wants to raise to reign with Him. You know, when I was meditating over, you know, this particular scripture, one of the thoughts the Lord dropped in my heart was this analogy of the fact that it's in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, 15. Thank you. 15, please. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." This was a major scripture the Lord used, you know, to connect this. And I'm going to explain it briefly the way He did to me. He said, the Father does not just want the head seated on the throne. He wants His body to sit with Him. So it is going to be an anomaly to see a throne, and all you see on the throne is just a head without a body. Now, that does not mean Jesus in Himself is not complete. You know, it's complete, it's whole. But because of the intention of creation, because the reason why God made man, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 20, it says, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." So before the dominion, you see a colon there. So the first reason, the dominion is to enforce, you know, the reign of our God. But before the dominion, the person or the being that can enforce dominion is one that has both the image and the likeness. So if the Son who has been raised as the firstborn, we see Him, scripture describe Him, in Revelation chapter 3, or thereabouts. Yeah, I think it was when he was writing to the Laodicean church, he was introducing himself as the Amen, the beginning of the creation of God. So when, if Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God, it means there are still many more that should come after Him. In Hebrews chapter 2, we hear, you know, the writer speak about how He has been raised to bring many sons into glory. Now, it says, "For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many." Can we say many? So Jesus is not looking for just one man. He's not looking for a few people. He's not looking for, you know, just, you know, random people across the earth. No, He wants all men. The Lord says in Psalms, He says, "All the earth is mine." God wants to possess His earth. He says, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world, and them that dwelleth therein." So what the Lord wants is, as the king has been raised to be seated, He has been enthroned on high, He also wants His princes to reign with Him, because those princes are His brethren. But not just His brethren, they have also, you know, trapped His life. So when you see Him and you see His princes, there is no difference, because they have embodied all that is in the Son, who has been made the head. And Go back to that scripture in Ephesians, please. There is something striking. It says, "May grow up." So meaning when we start our journey, we can start as a babe, but our destination is to grow up into the head. So every believer should strive to see that they set their feet upon that path to journey. What makes you journey? Like, you know, we were told this morning again, God's servant has always told us this consistently, that how we make progress in the spirit is through obedience to righteousness. As righteousness is being revealed to us, we move from one level of faith to faith, because faith is when we obey the revealed righteousness that God communicates to us. So what God expects is every individual seated here, your destiny is to become one of those people who will sit on the throne with God. The Son of God has been raised and he's been exalted. He's been elevated above all. And he does not just want to occupy that position. He wants all men. Can we say all men? He says, for God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So growth is one important thing that all believers must ensure that they, you know, engage. Mark chapter 4, verse 24, please. This was, you know, after Jesus had spoken about a lot of things, and then he said unto them, take it what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. 25, please. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath, so how do we have? We have as we journey, as we obey the laws of righteousness that heaven reveals to us. That's how we keep having. Meaning, when you obey faith, we see that in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he was saying, add to your faith virtue. Now, there are things to add on the journey. Can you say, you never said there are things to add on the journey? He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. So if you stop halfway, you can fall. Apostle Paul told us that, you know, in the scriptures following, you can fall. There is a tendency for you to fall if you've not added all of these things. So you can't start halfway and feel, I've added some, now I have virtue, now I have temperance, I have patience. No, you keep adding and adding to God, to your patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Please move on fast. For if these things be in you and abound, it shouldn't just be in you, it should do what? Abound. Can we say abound? Meaning it has, you know, it has arisen to a point where you can also give others. You can have sufficient for yourself alone, but at that point you are not yet a light shining for others to see, because it says, let your light so shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So you can have sufficient for yourself, and that light is just for you, your family, and yourself. But that's not the intention of God. He wants you to shine as light in the world for others to also see, so that they can be drawn to the knowledge of the truth. So going back here, he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and seeth and cannot see afar off. Now, what you are supposed to see every day of your life should be the throne, because that is really the destination of all believers. You are supposed to sit with the Lord, reigning over, you know, like we read in Genesis, it says that they may have dominion. So that dominion is not just over the elements of the earth. It's for you to, you know, reign in the wisdom of the Father, to come into all that the Father has trapped in his Son, all that he has given his Son, because it says all things, you know, he became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. So all things have been given to the Son. He's been trapped in the Son. He says to please the Father that the fullness, you know, of the tray of God, of the fullness of, please, can you give me that scripture in Colossians? It has pleased the Father to hide in the Son all the treasures of wisdom. So what God wants to give to everyone who is seated there is a sight for you to see why you are living. Because the world has been fashioned in the way to distract us. The world doesn't want us to see exactly why God has made us. He wants us to see other things aside the throne. And so many people, when they are close to the time of their death, they run back over their lives and they see how well how they've wasted time. So that's why the psalmist says, teach us to number our days, that we may incline our heart unto wisdom. So what wisdom will do to you is to guide you. He will direct you to know how to redeem time. He says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Now, why? Because if you do not live circumspectly and walk circumspectly as wise, you will always be ensnared by the enemy. And then the goal, why God has made you, the conformity he has ordained for you to come into, you always fall short of it. So Peter here says, if these things abound, nor be in you an abundance, shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Then verse 10, it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Can you say you shall never fall? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's go back to that scripture in Mark chapter 4. There is a place I'm going there. Mark chapter 4, verse 25. It says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away that which he had. Verse 26. And so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast a seed into the ground. Can we say a seed? Now, when the word of righteousness is coming to us, when the revelation of righteousness is to be revealed, it comes as a seed. The Lord will sow that seed into you. And you must know that there is always warfare against seeds, particularly seeds after this order. This seed has the capacity to alter your frame and give you a sense different from the sense of the world. So when God is speaking those words to you, every time you sit under the atmosphere of the word and you endure sound doctrine, what is being done in your soul, if the Lord is to open your eyes, is to see that seeds are being sown. Now, when those seeds are sown, there is something those seeds should do. The seed, the destiny of the seed is to grow. But you must be in a state for that seed to grow. It says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep. And should do what, brethren? Now, this sleep is a state of peace, a state of rest. Because when you are restless, that seed cannot survive. In Mark chapter 4, I think verse 5 or 15 or so, I can't remember exactly. It says, and so he said, thank you. And these are they by the wayside wherein the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Then continue, please, verse 16. And these are they likewise which were sown on stony ground. Give me the explanation where it spoke about, you know, the deceitfulness of riches. It says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness. Thank you. It says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, if you notice, this is the penultimate warfare before the last one where it was sown on the good ground. The first ground was upon, you know, that rock that it was shallow. It didn't have roots. Now, the first one was on the wayside, you know, that the best of the earth picked. The second was upon the rock that was shallow. And then this was the third. Now, that third is the greatest warfare that many of us keep finding ourselves in. Now, after leaving this place, you live with a lot of excitement. You've heard the word. You want to go out there and live righteously. But, you know, you just receive a news. Or you get to your place of work, things come around you. You just realize things are being choked. That which you have received, what they are choking is the seed. But God wants you to put, he wants to put you to rest. You know why? When he was making Adam, before he made Eve, he had to put Adam to rest. He had to put him to sleep. That sleep was a state wherein he could bat forth another life. A life from within, he needed to bring God more. So when God wants to produce a new man, a new nature from you, there is a state you must attain to. And that's why we must pray that God will deliver us from restlessness. Now, even while you are under this atmosphere, a lot of thoughts, distractions, what are they doing? What they want to do is to choke the seed. They don't even want the seed to fall on your heart at all. And if by adventure they fall and they see you have a shallow soil, they still go after you. They don't even, because they know the destiny of every believer that receives the seed is to turn to the Lord, is to receive the life of the Lord, is to be, you know, transformed into the nature of the Son. So they go after the seed. And what they want to do is to not just, you know, they can't do anything to the seed, but they can, you know, stop you from making progress. They can stop or hinder that which the seed is supposed to do in you. It says, the word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it's a designer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In Psalm chapter 19, verse 7, it says, the word of the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You can also say the seed of the Lord is perfect. He's able to convert your soul. Meaning that soul, that word, that seed that God gives to you is has capacity to alter your frame. But for that seed to work, there is a state of rest your soul must come into, and it is the Father that will administer that through his word. Please go back to that scripture in Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4. He says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and do what? Grow up, and he knoweth not how. The seed is supposed to grow. It's supposed to go. Go to the next verse. I'm going somewhere. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, the blade. Can we say the blade? Then the hair. After that, the full corn in the hair. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So when you hear words of harvest, when the harvest is near, you hear words like quickly. You hear words like immediately. You see that in Revelations. You see that, you know, as the Lord kept coming to the church, particularly in Revelations 3:2-3, you hear him saying, behold, I come quickly. Why? Because I want to come and do a quick work in you. After you've done the work, the reward, he says, his work goes before him, his reward is with him, and his works before him. So when he's coming, he wants to do a quick work. And there are three phases of fruit bearing. The first phase is that phase of the blade. That phase really can be despised because it looks so long. When you know, more like you are in that state where you are obeying righteousness, you're obeying the laws that God is giving to you, yet you are not seeing the fruit. And then you feel like, does it really worth it? In fact, it appears as though every time you try to obey the laws that the Lord gives to you, the commandment the Lord gives you, you keep finding a lot of contradictions within your heart. And then because you cannot see, now the warfare that many of us have to believe the Lord to overcome in this season is how, you know, that warfare of how not to judge by the sight of your eyes. You know, many of us want to see things evidently to know that I'm making progress. You want to see those things. Maybe, you know, maybe you pray more, you study more, you fast more, and then you feel, oh, now I'm spiritual. No, brethren, it is in that obedience, so that, you know, that forbearance that you can take, that extra withdrawal, knowing the Lord is telling you not to talk, and you can be refrained. All of those things are signs of your transformation within. And really, when a seed is growing, particularly, let me use the instance of a corn. Many times you don't see what is inside. It's hid from the eyes. So when God is also working his seed in us, he hides it from the face of men. He doesn't want men to see. So when you are always looking for the physical, when you're always looking for what your eyes can see, you will be limited, because you can, you know, that season can pass past you. So the first phase of fruit bearing is that face of the blade. And then the hair. Now when you see the hair, that does not mean the fruit is matured. You are not supposed to run with that. You're still supposed to wait. You know, so meaning, he says, let patience have a perfect work, that you may be found complete and entire. So those are faces of our journey when righteousness is being done in us. Because even the Son, scripture said, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. In Hebrews chapter 2, I think verse 10, he was talking about how, you know, for the Son, he had to, for it became him for whom are all things, not this place, where he said he had to, thank you, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. There was another place. Go to the next verse, please. For we see Jesus, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Why? Because the same process that he has gone through is also making his people go through them. So Jesus had to endure those phases of growth. He kept enduring them so that the formation of the life of God can be complete in him. So brethren, I believe one of the things the Lord wants to do to us in this season is to move us forward. And this forwardness, as the Lord is administering it to us, we must not be conscious of the physical evidences first. Rather, look within and rejoice. Scripture says it is more blessed, you know, when you, though you have not seen, yet you believe. Now in your heart, you've not seen the evidences, but in your heart you believe that a work is been going in you. Because you know where? Defeat starts from the heart. When you start believing the lies of the devil, when Satan tells you, you are not making progress, the same thing you used to do, you see the same thing you do, and you allow that, what it does is cast a veil upon you. It makes you stay in that place of darkness where, and the more you embrace that thought, it starts framing the way you see. Because you're supposed to see with the eyes of the spirit. There is something, as you keep seeing, it could be dark, but as you keep seeing, you start seeing the glitters of life, you know, that flicker of light. You start seeing, and as you keep seeing it, the more you keep your gaze on it, the brighter the light will get. So in this season, I believe what the Lord wants to do is to amplify his work in our souls, to see that he's doing a work in you. Every time you gather under the atmosphere of the word, every time you sit to hear that which heaven is declaring, there is a seed that God is putting in you, and he's bringing forth waters to water that seed, so that seed can grow. The destiny of the seed is to grow. It can come as a seed, it should not remain as a seed in you. It should grow, because that seed has a life of itself. He's supposed to form and make you a different man. He's supposed to shape you and transform you into another image. Now, please, let me quickly jump to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, verse 15. It says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, the enemy has a seed that he sows in men. And, you know, aside just the seed he sows in men, he also has men that are like seed. Wherever those people go to, everywhere they go, there is something they drop that causes men to turn away from the Lord. Now, God is saying, this company of people, because this seed is not just one man, it's like a conglomerate, a people that the Lord is gathering unto himself. I mean, that the enemy also has to himself. Now, this set of people, there is something they have. That's the scripture, I think was yesterday, I can't remember whether it was Pastor Mika or Pastor Tayo that was talking about, you know, the wiles of the devil. Now, because what the enemy has is wiles. His wisdom is beyond just, you know, you can't, detect whatever it is he's doing with your senses. You can't demystify that realm with your senses. There is a wisdom that everyone has to give to you that must make you see through whatever the devil is saying. Now, it might look even appealing to the soul. It might look attractive. But, you know, as you begin to see through, as the Lord begins to elevate you, because righteousness gives you judgments. It makes you see with the eyes of the Lord. Righteousness wants to, what it does is it turns you from the way the world has framed you. And he wants you to begin to understand things as the Lord wants you to see. So as we begin to receive, you know, the revelation of righteousness that heaven brings to us, what it will do to us is it gives us capacity for our feet to be strengthened. Now, that feet is what we need to bruise the adversary. That's how we can enforce the reign of our king. We will not enforce the reign of our king when our feet are lame, brethren. When the feet is lame, because that's what the enemy does. He keeps going after our feet in the spirit. And when your feet is lame, you cannot walk in righteousness. So what the Lord wants to do, I believe one of the many things the Lord will do under this, you know, this holy mountain, is to fortify our feet to be able to walk this ground. That upon this mountain, we will find strength by the help of the Lord to guard that strength and capacity to walk until that point where our feet will be made as brass and we can bruise the head of the serpent. Because God has ordained that the people will arise who will bear his name. And Jesus has been raised as a pattern for us in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8. He says, for though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered and be made perfect. So Jesus was made perfect. His princes will also become perfect. His princes will not be lesser than he is. They have to be exactly as the Son of God. He says, please go back to that scripture. Verse 8, for though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became what? The author of eternal salvation. That he was teaching us on Sunday about, you know, those two things that we should obtain on the first night. He was talking about that in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. Yes, he says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So brethren, you are yet to obtain these things, but God has put the curriculum in place. Things that you need to learn to come into these things. We must be willing in these times to come into obtaining what God has ordained. It is a call for everybody. Can you tell that to your neighbor? Say, it is your destiny to obtain eternal salvation. So the Lord wants us to come into this. And then finally, I believe the Lord wants us to see this in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 14 to 16. One of the reasons why I believe, you know, God is setting up mountains like this is to awaken our hearts that the time is upon us for us to quickly hasten in our journey again, because there is time no longer. And the Lord is bringing judgment upon the earth. But he wants the people who can collectively quickly respond to the call of the Spirit for a people to rise. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. He called it a good thing. He says, in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. Now, that point is on growing up. That seed that God is putting in you should grow up. Satan will fight it from growing up, but you must be intentional to see that that seed is preserved. that nothing takes that seed away, because that seed is what will form the life of God in you. He says, I will cause that branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Verse 16, please. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. May the Lord become our righteousness. In this season, we will say that the Lord truly is our righteousness, because the laws of his righteousness will have been written upon our hearts. In these 7 days, there is a lot that heaven is speaking. Brethren, you might not be able to trap them in your jotters, even in your heart. You have to go back to these messages, because what God wants to do is to tattoo his laws within our hearts. As we keep these laws in our hearts, we will keep seeing a change. By the time you come upon this mountain next year, wherever you are, whether you are streaming or you're coming physically, you should have journeyed in your work of salvation, in your work of righteousness. Your hands should have done much work of righteousness. Give me this scripture in Psalm chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 15 verse 1, it says, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Many of us are still far from this place. We are yet to draw near. We don't even know what, we hear it from afar. You know, it was Job that was saying to the Lord, he says, with the hearing of my ears have I heard of you, but now my eyes see you. Now God wants us to come to see his righteousness, not just see it, to do it. We see it as we do it. We become it as we do it. He says, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. It's still that process of growing up. There is a work of growing up. Everybody must be walking up, up, up. Tell them, say, go up. There is a call to go up. It's a season for everyone to go up. Why? Because there is a spirit upon the earth. Scripture calls it the covering cast. Isaiah chapter 25. There is a covering cast upon all people not to go up. It's a veil. It says, in this mountain shall he will destroy in this mountain, please. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast upon all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. How will he do that? Go to the previous verse where he said he's going to make a feast. He said, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. Why is he making it to all people? Why not a few? See, many of us might not see what God is doing, but brethren, that's what Satan wants to do. Because when you are ignorant, you will always be kept in darkness. It is as light begins to come to you that you see why you need to pay prices for your soul not to be lost. He says, in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Why would God go through the pain of making this kind of feast for a people? It's because he wants to raise a people like the sun. These were things that made the sun. He gave the son a kind of meal, fatness of his house. He gave him riches, blessings of corns and of wines. He blessed the son with a lot of oil. And these things raised him. He says, he because he loved righteousness and hated wickedness, he has anointed him with the oil of gladness above his face. You thought it was when Jesus sat on the throne that he gave that. Jesus kept obeying. As he was obeying, they were giving him oil. He says, my cup, he says, you have anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. As you keep walking in righteousness, they are adding oil to you. You know, Pastor Nick, I was saying this morning about husband walking and not being naked. There is a lot of people walking, going to church, yet they are naked. You will be naked when you are not clothed. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 11. He says, my soul, verse 10, please. He says, my soul will rejoice. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments, not one. Brethren, there are many garments. Tell your neighbor, say, there are many garments. They are abundant. God wants to give garments. See, as you keep walking in the spirit, you pick those garments. Every state of obedience. That's why we must not in any way, you know, take lightly any instruction God is giving to us. It can come from anybody. Just be sensitive. Let that sense pray to God that God will make you aware of his work in these times. Because, you know, like I said, when we keep walking in ignorance, you won't know. Jesus looked at Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem, see, you know, that was when before he began to talk about the things that were going to come, you know, upon Jerusalem. And he told them that they did not know the time of their visitation. He said, how he desires to cover them like a cheek. You know, I mean, he wanted to put them, I think it's in Matthew chapter 11. There was one in 11. Thank you, O Jerusalem, which killed thy prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often will I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather a brood under her wings, and you would not. Now there was another place. It says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until that time when you say, behold. No, there was another place where he said that they did not know the time of their visitation. Now, the reason why we will always fall into traps, and that's why God must help us in this time to be sensitive and alive, like you are aware, you're
conscious that there is a lot happening in the spirit, and we don't have all the time. So what God wants to do in this season is to infuse in us a sense, and that sense is a sense of righteousness, that everything you are doing, you are conscious of being clothed. You are aware and saying, God, I have nakedness. In this area, I am not yet like you. Every area where we fall short and we don't look like God, we are naked. Whatever area it is, all of those areas. And that's why we have to believe the Lord for so much garments, that God, in this season, keep clothing me. I don't want to lose out on it. In those areas, the reason why you are naked is because there is another cloth you are wearing. You know, like we taught this morning about that priest, Joshua. He was supposed to be, you know, the high priest, but because he had another garment, that garment, as far as everyone was concerned, was nakedness, because he didn't have the righteousness of God. Now he says, our righteousness as a filthy rag. So every man has his righteousness, but when they x-ray it before the lens of God's own righteousness, it is nakedness. And so this scripture in Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10, he says, I will greatly rejoice. Now, what brings you joy, brethren? Let me end on this note. What brings you joy? Many times when we don't have money, there is a kind of heaviness that comes over us. When things are not moving the way you expect, there is a kind of weight that comes over you. You don't value the revelation of Jesus that keeps coming to you. When you keep hearing the word and you have understanding, you have breakthrough in the spirit, in thoughts of God. You can process thoughts and stay meditating on the word. You know, things that are not so common around men, thoughts of God begins to visit you. You don't value them because you feel, I don't have natural things to show for it. So rather, you want to, you want to hide in your shame. You call that shame. As far as heaven is concerned, that is not shame. Why? Because the real shame is when you are lacking in the garments that God wants to give. And he has many of those garments. God wants to give us garments. Can we say garments? He says the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. So God has many garments. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, in so be that being found naked, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5. It says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. So there is a state of groaning. We must not be at ease. When we are at ease, we are saying we are comfortable in our states. And at that time, right, the work of righteousness will be slowed down in us. We will not be able to come into that state of reigning as princes, because he says he's going to declare the name of his father to his brethren. Those brethren have embodied his life. They have received all that has made the head up, so that they can also grow up into him who is the head. And what he wants to do is to keep bringing light, so that the same components, when you opened Christ, when you opened the Son of God, the same things you found in him should also be found in his brethren. They should also be found in us. And each of us, we have a place in him. Every one of us seated here, we have a destiny to sit upon the throne, to be as the Son of God who has been raised. And he's coming with plenty garments. He's coming with abundant robes. What he wants to do is he wants to clothe us. He wants to remove what we have, because he's not going to clothe us on the old. No, he's going to remove the old and then bring the new. You know, we was talking about the wine and the vessel. That you have to remove the wines, you have to take away that old wines. You can't put the new in the hold. There has to be a removal of the hold and the bringing in of the new. So what God wants to do in this season is to begin to judge laws of unrighteousness within us. You know, God's servant was telling us about the mountains. You know, the saviors arising, Obadiah chapter 1, 21, you know, saviors arising in Zion who will judge the mountains of Edom. Now, why will they do that? Because they need to make the kingdom become the Lord's. God wants to reign in his temple. He wants to be Lord. He wants to come into his people and see that, yes, there is no difference between this people and myself. Now I can say, they are my people and I am their God. God is not going to call himself our God as long as we have works of unrighteousness in us. I want us to bow our heads to the Lord this evening and pray that the Lord will show us mercy, that our hearts will be open to receive and engage all the laws that God wants to give to us in this season, that we'll find grace to walk in the light of the Lord, because God wants to raise us to become princes unto himself. He wants us to turn our hearts away from those things that defile, those things that take our attention away, those things that take our eyes away from the goal. And he wants us to come come to that point where we can receive all of himself. He wants to give us himself. There is a life that God wants to share with you. There is a life that God wants to give to every one of us. And he's calling us in this season. And he's saying, open your heart. Open your heart. Open your heart and receive revelations of my righteousness. Can we pray to God for capacity to endure his loss? That we endure the loss of the Lord. Endure sound doctrine. That we befriend within our hearts so that we can conform to the image of the Son.
Words has spirit. Words has life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.thecitygate.org. Stay blessed.